Season 8, Episode 44 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast with a look at the specific Thursday and Black Friday games in this particular podcast, presented by Hooters, celebrating 40 years and on the 4th of each month, throwback events featuring 83-cent wings and other great specials. Remember, speaking of specials, Hooters does offer $6 drinks all day, every day. Visit originalhooters.com for the location nearest you, for those of you listening in the greater Tampa Bay area. My email for any of your fantasy questions is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. I want to get right to it. Plan to give you one this week for just what's being called sort of the Thanksgiving week. It's almost its own weekend with Thursday, Friday games, three games on Thursday, one on Friday. And then we'll give you a separate podcast a little later in the week, looking ahead to the Sunday and the Monday games. First, let's review. We're doing this so early in the week. We are 12 hours from the start of Chiefs and Eagles. So anything that happens in that game, you're on your own, and we'll obviously discuss it in the next podcast. But neither Chiefs nor Eagles, and this makes sense, playing on Thursday or on Black Friday. Let's review, independent of the Chiefs-Eagles result, Week 11, Monday night, best performers based on my 21st century standard, modernized scoring settings. Number one performer was Trevor Lawrence, not only QB1, overall one. My opponent in the foundation did not play Trevor Lawrence. And you know, I can understand that. She had Howell instead, which could ultimately be the end for Ron Rivera and some other people in Washington, losing to Tommy DeVito and the New York Giants on their home field. And then after the game, the stadium has no hot water and has to shut down all water, so none of the players could shower before heading home. Just a bad day for the formerly known as Redskins franchise. Trevor Lawrence, so she had Howell instead, and Lawrence was QB1 sitting on her bench. Trevor Lawrence, 30.43 points, 262 touchdowns, 262 yards, two touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns pushed Trevor Lawrence to be number one in a walkover. The Tennessee Titans, who have shown next to nothing since Will Levis hit on three sort of busted coverages to DeAndre Hopkins deep, hasn't done much since, as Tennessee appears to be playing out the string. Saquon Barkley, speaking of the Sam Howell Washington loss to the Giants, Barkley did a ton of the damage, two receiving touchdowns. If you're wondering, how does Tommy DeVito throw three touchdowns? Well, just flip it to Saquon Barkley for two of them. I didn't see him. I'm not going to go back and watch Giants Washington highlights, so there you go. But Saquon Barkley, wish I owned him. Four catches, 57 yards, two touchdowns to go with 14 rushes for 83 yards. He was RB1. Brock Purdy was QB2 overall, three against that formidable Todd Bowles defense. Apparently another bad day for Carlton Davis. Dean getting hurt. Still not enough from Joe Tryon, Shoyanka. 333 and 3 for Purdy in what's called a perfect game based on rating. He did have some incompletions, not many. 4 for 14 on the ground. Calvin Ridley was wide receiver 1. This is one of the first times in months we've seen Calvin Ridley show. He had seven catches for 103 yards and two touchdowns to buoy Trevor Lawrence to overall, and QB1 even had a running attempt of one carry for 18 yards that got close to the end zone. Justin Herbert in a losing effort. I mean, he's taking his lumps for this loss. I saw bad drops, bad play by Quentin Johnston, drop by Keenan Allen near the goal line, turnover by Eckler in the red zone, and the typical give up 23 to a Green Bay team struggling offensively, very young offensively, And then Brandon Staley talking down to a reporter about, don't ask me if I'm going to stop calling the plays because I believe in what we are doing. Well, what you're doing, Brandon, isn't fucking working. I'm 3,000 miles away and I can see it's not working and you're a dick. I can only imagine what your players think. And maybe your assistant coaches as well. What an asshole. Poor Justin Herbert, 260 and two touchdowns, 8 carries for 73 yards. That's a big rushing number for Justin Herbert. Lamar Jackson was next. So he was QB4 in a bounce back spot for him fantasy-wise on Thursday night in the game that looks like it ended the Bengals season with no Joe Burrow going forward. Lamar, 264 and 2 through the air, 9 for 54 on the ground. Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver 2 on the week. He had that one big play past the Buck defender, and the Buck defender then fell down for the score. 5 for 156 and a touch in the Niners route. I had him in the podcast league. I also had Tank Dell going in the podcast league, which is why it looks like I may win or still put up 3 digits in the podcast league. Tank Dell with Collins down, with Brown down, 8 for 149 and a touch for Houston. There's Tommy DeVito. Are you kidding me? He was QB5 going into the Monday night game. Oh, Tommy. 246 and 3 touchdowns, 1 rush for 7. Josh Allen was behind Tommy DeVito, even in a win against the Jets. That's better than I thought Josh Allen would do. I didn't start him in the podcast league. Little bitter. I'm not blaming Josh, but I was just like, yeah, I'm going to try Josh Dobbs. I'm going to try something else. Josh Allen had a solid performance against the Jets defense that makes a lot of quarterbacks look bad. 275 and 3, just the one pick. 5 for 15. On the ground. Tyreek Hill, so he's wide receiver 3. Whoa, what an off. 4. Wide receiver 4 for Tyreek Hill. What an off week. 10 for 146 and a score. I know he battled an injury. Jaylen Warren had one big play, and it got him to RB2. That one play early in the second half. 9 for 129 and a touch. 3 for 16 through the air. Kyler Murray continues to look fine. Looks like Kyler Murray didn't win, but fantasy-wise, he's still available in 23% of Yahoo leagues, which he was in the foundation. I had Burrow. I need a quarterback for the playoffs. 214, one touch, one pick, 7 for 15, and a rushing touchdown. I did roll the dice on a plug-and-play of Trey McBride. It didn't work as well as McBride has been used in previous games. Credit to D'Amico Ryans and the Houston defense for knowing, with all these Arizona wide receivers down, that was the best option for Arizona through the air. Justin Fields in a losing effort, 169 passing, 104 rushing as Detroit rallies to beat the Bears. So Fields was a QB1 for the week, but down the board at what, QB5? 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. Gus Edwards on Thursday night, 12 for 62 and 2 touchdowns. Gus has been more than serviceable as a starting running back. Jordan Love, tough to buy into, but it's 2 weeks in a row. Packers win, and Jordan Love, 322, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Devin Singletary, second good week in a row. Devin Singletary, 22 for 112 and one touchdown. We've been calling the Texans a pass-first offense because of how little they use Damian Pierce. Maybe the Texans have just come to the decision Damian Pierce wasn't that good. Now, why they waited so long to use Singletary like this is on them. But Singletary is doing things that Pierce simply did not do. Perhaps the way they want a running back to handle first-team reps is more Singletary with his versatility and ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, where loser Lovie Smith, at least for, 13 weeks or so, was like, no, just hand it to Dameon Pierce and let's play it safe. Keenan Allen, who had that key drop, I think that was in the first half, in the Charger loss to the Packers, still 10 for 116 and a touch. Khalil Shakur had a big game that helped Josh Allen, helped him. Shakur 3 for 15 and a touch. Christian McCaffrey got in the end zone, started a new streak, 5 for 25 and a touch through the air, 21 for 78 on the ground. James Cook, 17 for 73, 3 for 29 and 1. Maybe that's a Joe Brady thing. Maybe that's because of the game flow, but Cook seemed to be getting a lot of work early, not just when the game was in hand. Joe Mixon, they're going to have to lean on him more now in Cincinnati. 16 for 69, 5 for 31. Let's do one more. David Montgomery, 12 for 76 and a touch, 2 for 22 through the air. And just behind him, Jahmyr Gibbs, 8 for 36 and a touch, 6 for 59. You can play both of those backs right now. I think that's, some would say maybe Cleveland. Some, you know, Achane got back in the line for Miami and then got cleared. And McDaniel said, nope, going to be cautious with Achane. The backfield where either of the two running backs look startable now is Detroit until further notice. Just because both are, I mean, Detroit scores with three guys. And granted, Jameson Williams scored. Occasionally they'll get a Josh Reynolds score. Occasionally there's a Sam Laporta score. It's Amon-Ra, it's Montgomery, it's Gibbs. And it's not like Jared Goff is going to be tucking it under in the red zone and running it in himself. So there are the top 25 fantasy performers before the Monday night game between the Chiefs and the Eagles. Sorry, I'm just fast-forwarding my screen so I can look at the Thursday games. And then that'll be it for this one as we look ahead to Week 12. Okay. Packers at Lions. Packers, such a young team, but got to feel kind of good about themselves. Jordan Love's available in roughly 50% of Yahoo leagues. He won't find it easy against the Lions defense. They're really spreading things out. Jaden Reed suddenly has become, if you're desperate for a pass catcher and a guy that clearly LaFleur is using because he doesn't have someone with his talents in the backfield, now that, you know, Aaron Jones got hurt and then he thought he was done and then realized he's not done. You know, Dylan's just a plotter. Jaden Reed's getting touches. That might be a guy to consider if you're desperate on the waiver wire. From the Lions standpoint, we just kind of talked about them. I don't know at this point if a pickup of Jameson Williams, again, I guess if you're desperate and you have an extra roster spot, but at best, 1, 2, 3, 4, he's the fifth best option to have in his number called on a per-play basis in Detroit. But viable starters, I mean, the Lions got viable starters all over the place. Packers, I don't know that Jordan Love is startable against the Lions. Maybe Reed is. And depending on Aaron, I mean, I don't really even think Aaron Jones is startable, even though I'm glad he's not, you know, out for the season. Commanders at Cowboys. Yeah, I mean, Sam Howell still throws for a ton of yards. I mean, just because Washington lost to Tommy DeVito and the Giants doesn't take away from the fact that Sam Howell is going to throw it and Brian Robinson's going to run it. And that's about all you can really count on with the Commanders. Are both startable next week? Sure. I mean, if the Cowboys put up the points you expect the Cowboys to put up, then Howell will be throwing it. You might get garbage time yardage, a garbage time touchdown, and Robinson still is going to get his touches on the ground. From the Cowboys standpoint, CeeDee Lamb, is breaking into that elite fantasy category that was occupied this year. You know, first by Tyreek Hill, then Justin Jefferson went down, then A.J. Brown after the first 2 weeks got hot. Keenan Allen's had a great season. Stephon Diggs is just, you know, the boring wide receiver one. And then there's CeeDee Lamb. And CeeDee Lamb's last month plus has been outstanding for Dallas. Tony Pollard finally got a score. So if you have Pollard, probably want to play him on Thanksgiving unless you have two noticeably better options at the running back spot. And Dak's been definitely a QB1 you want to, have in the lineup. How about Brandon Aubrey, right? Brandon Aubrey has three missed extra points, including one that turned out didn't matter once the Cowboys were up big against Carolina. Hasn't missed a field goal this year. It's been a very good field goal kicker for me in fantasy. 49ers at Seahawks. Let's take Seattle first. I guess keep checking status on Geno Smith. If Geno doesn't play in this game, I'm sorry, the Seahawks have no chance against the 49ers on Thanksgiving night. Drew Lock more and more looks like a quarterback who shouldn't be taking reps in the National Football League. When he came in that game against the Rams, it was like, what is he doing here? Ken Walker has been losing snaps to Charbonnet for a month. I mean, Metcalf got in the end zone, but he hasn't done that a lot this year. There's just not enough, right? If you own Geno, you're not getting enough. If you own DK, you're not getting enough. If you own Lockett, I owned him last year, not getting nearly as much of this year. JSN, which sounds like a television network, not enough. Charbonnet, even if you've been rostering him, you're like, not enough. That's the Seahawks in fantasy. Not enough. Myers, give me three more and win the game. Nope. Couldn't do that either. Niners, it's all play the hits. Brock Purdy, off a perfect game, off being one of the top five quarterbacks of the week. Yeah. Yeah, you might be able to get away with that again this week or get away with him as a QB1 the rest of the way. As long as the Niners aren't behind in the fourth quarter, they're fine. That's the problem for Shanahan, maybe for Purdy, but it's more on Shanahan than Purdy. But yeah, you're playing McCaffrey, Ayuk, right? Debo, you just always got to check Debo's injury status. He did play over the weekend, didn't he? I didn't hear a lot about Debo, but let me just make sure. I didn't hear his number called very much against the Bucks. I'm sorry if I missed something. Yeah, he was out there 3 for 63. And one rush for minus one. Okay. George Kittle, or as Gene Deckerhoff called him on the score and multiple other times, Fred Kittle, 8 for 89, one touchdown. Fred Kittle, not Fred Garvin, male prostitute. Thank you for the Saturday Night Live Dan Aykroyd fans who understand that reference. So there are your 49ers for the week. And then the Black Friday game, which is free, even if you don't have Prime, there's ways to watch it for free on Black Friday because they want you to think Amazon. They want you to see the ads for Amazon Black Friday specials. Dolphins and Jets, check status on Achan. Whether or not he goes, I would imagine he would. But you didn't get what you expected. What he did in those few games was not sustainable. Let's see what else the Dolphins did against the Raiders as we look ahead to the Jets. Jets should bounce back more defensively off, you know, giving up a pretty big number in Buffalo. You know, granted, the offense isn't doing much to keep them off the field. Tua's certainly a viable starter. Mostert, 22 for 86. He's staying healthy. Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, 4 for 55. Salvin Ahmed, that's a little bit far-fetched to plug him in the lineup. I don't know that you start Waddle against the Jets defense. That's just me. But yeah, you still start Hill, Mostert, Tua. I'm going to leave it up to you on Achan based on whatever we hear injury-wise this week. And from the Jets standpoint, I mean, I wouldn't be starting Breece Hall if I didn't have to as a running back. He got in the end zone on a reception. Might have been his only reception of the game. Because there was no room to run. Oh, he had 5 for 50 in a touch. He was a leading receiver. 73 tandem yards. Those are hard earned on 15 touches and a touchdown for Breece Hall. I guess. I mean, Breece Hall isn't an RB1. He's a low-end RB2 at this point, and you wish you had other options. I don't know that Breece Hall's a good flex option at running back. Yeah. And it feels like Boyle's going to start at quarterback unless the Jets magically pull some other name out of midair and just plug him in for Friday. At this point, I don't know what the options are as they just try to hang in there. Because we're getting to that point, and we knew we would, even though the Jets at one point had a 3-game winning streak and actually are the only team to beat the Eagles. Why would Aaron Rodgers come back to a team that can't make the playoffs? What's the point? You're just going to tear either that Achilles again, or as people who have torn one Achilles know, it's just a matter of time before you tear the other. Why do that? Why? So the Jets are reaching that status of what's the point? All right, I'm done. If you have any other fantasy questions for Thanksgiving or Black Friday, I'd be happy to write you back via email, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. It's 40 years for Hooters. And if you're in the greater Tampa Bay area, visit originalhooters.com for the location nearest you. We'll talk to you later this week. Happy Turkey Day.